Cheese, please. From the rats of Ratatouille, the animated movie. Anyway, the New York Fancy Food Show in Manhattan recently, a cheese topped with Australian native green ants was named as one of the best things to taste at the show. The exhibitor was South Australian cheesemaker Chris Lloyd, whose company Woodside Cheese Rights is regarded as one of the world's best artisan cheese producers. Earlier, reporter Veronica Matheson spoke to Chris, Woodside CEO and head cheesemaker, about her company's success.
Chris, you're in a wine-growing region of South Australia, so are you ever able to incorporate wine in your cheeses?
Interestingly enough, one of the things that's happened in South Australia is we've had this really lovely emergence of gin producers. So we've got a number of distilleries, small distilleries opening up, around me in the Adelaide Hills. So I've actually incorporated gin, would you believe, into one of our little club cheddars. And we've called it G&C, which we thought was quite apt. And it's just beautiful. It really has a lovely flavour and, you know, it lets the botanicals shine through in the cheese as well. So maybe not incorporating the wine, but the spirits.
Great. And I think you also use vine leaf wrapping your cheeses.
We do, yes. I've been incorporating vine leaves on the outside of cheeses now for some time. So we do a cheese which is called Vigneron. It's a soft goat's cheese which has the vine leaves around it. And then another one that has a layer of ash through the centre, which we call Pompeii. And that also has vine leaves around it. That's a semi-hard cow's milk cheese. There's just a really lovely look. The vine leaves break down over a period of time, particularly on the Pompeii as we age that cheese. And there's just this really, it looks quite rustic. It's very pretty, to be honest.
I gather when you were a child, your grandmother used to use vine leaves.
My background is Greek. I'm born here in Australia, but I spent a lot of time with my Greek grandmother, who was very, very into food. And in fact, we would go and we would pluck the vine leaves from many of the arbors that had been created in the backyard, quite a large backyard they had in here in Adelaide. And so we would pluck the vine leaves, and she was quite specific about the vine leaves to be able to almost see through it, so then it wouldn't be bitter and it wouldn't be tough. And she'd arrange them in her hand before she would then put them in the front of her apron pocket, and then she would brine them, cure them and brine them for use later for the very infamous dolmades that the Greeks produced. So, I had all that really love-rich tapestry of cuisines that she brought with her. Since then I've gone on to incorporate a whole host of different other things with my cheeses. And, probably more recently, Veronica, I've looked into introducing some Australian native ingredients to the cheeses. And this is really lovely. I feel like I'm now really telling the right story about my cheeses by incorporating ingredients that are from where I come from.
How did you get involved in cheese making?
Well, it was absolutely by accident. I was working for our family business, which is Coriol Vineyards in McLaren Vale. And I guess like any small business, you do everything in a business, and I would do cellar door at times. I would be doing marketing mainly, but we all had to have a turn at doing cellar door when the buzzer went. And so I guess I just realised there was this wonderful opportunity to value add to our visitors' experience. So they would come, obviously, and they would try the wines and it sort of seemed like a little bit of a natural progression to perhaps offer them a ploughman's platter, if you like. And, we produce our own olives and olive oil and vinegars. So I started buying other ingredients to add to that platter, such as charcuterie and cheeses. And I don't know, it just kind of dawned on me that how amazing would it be to be able to make our own cheese. And so I guess that's where the idea was born. And, you know, I guess a few years later, Woodside Cheese Rights actually came up for sale. And so we just thought, well, that might be the best way to go about it. And cheese making is something that most, I would say, cheesemakers in Australia are self-taught. So it was a really, really big learning curve and, you know, very, very difficult to gain consistency in artisan cheese making. But so I took myself overseas, and I feel that was probably a really, really good decision, because the distance between us, really, I was no threat, and so I found that people were very willing and open and happy to, you know, help me learn and take me in and let me, you know, make cheese alongside them. I was really inspired by what I saw, and, you know, I kind of discovered this incredible cheese galaxy out there, and it is exactly that. There are thousands of cheeses, you know, visit the Rungis markets in France, and, you know, I was just absolutely mind blown by what I saw and smelt and tasted. It was extraordinary.
So you went to France first?
I went to France, and then Italy, the UK, Ireland, and yeah, really that's where I was able to learn the most, and, you know, bring back what I learned. I never copied anything. I don't like the idea that you copy, but I just took inspiration really from what I saw and just tried to create, you know, something that I could call my own. And you know, I think that's something that we've been able to do and be really innovative with the way that we make our cheeses, and, you know, many say quite unorthodox methods, but, you know, it's always good to, you know, it's easy to copy. It's not as easy to be creative and innovative.
Cheese is all about milk, isn't it?
It's like wine. You can't make great wine without excellent quality grapes, and cheese is probably even more so. So we work very closely with our dairy farmers. We have cow, we have goat and buffalo milk coming into the factory. Very, very small herds. Our businesses have grown together. So we've both got, you know, the farmer and us as the producer, we've both got a keen interest in making sure that everything is absolutely top quality. And we're so lucky here in South Australia. We've got such beautiful environment, you know, really clean biosecurities and all of that. And so we end up with really lovely, fresh milk, so we're always on starting off on the best foot. You just don't get it any fresher, and we don't mix herds either. So I have three goat milk producers, but I never mix their milk together. So each cheese is herd specific, and so it's wonderful, because it really does tell a story about our place. And I don't necessarily like to use the word terroir. I think that's kind of a bit of a French term. I like to talk about my place, and, you know, my place is the Adelaide Hills in South Australia, and I only use milk from my state.
Tell me about a few of the awards, the accolades you've got.
Well, in 2010, I was awarded the state prize for the Telstra Business Women's Award for innovation, and I went on to compete for the national title, which I ended up taking out. I mean, it was a real pinch moment for me to have won that award, because I guess the Telstra Business Women's Award looked at not a product, so they weren't judging my cheese, and, you know, they were judging me in a way, and my business acumen and my integrity, my vision, my business philosophy, and, you know, maybe my generosity of spirit. So I guess one of the other standout awards was the World Cheese Awards that was judged in San Sebastian in 2016, where we entered a little cheese called Ant Hill. And so this cheese it starts with a goat base, a chèvre. It's just lightly dusted with South Australian lemon myrtle. And then we top the cheese with native Australian green ants.
Oh, that's a bit unusual.
It is unusual, very unusual. But anyway, the lovely story about this is this wonderful cheese that just tells an incredible Australian story ended up coming in at number 11 out of 3,021 cheeses.
Whoa.
So it was awarded a Super Gold medal, and it was really something that I wasn't expecting, but I really learned a lot from that. It taught me that, in fact, maybe it's not appropriate to go to an international competition and think that you're going to put a brie and a camembert in there. I mean, why would you? That's the French story. Maybe it's about putting something that really resonates with your place. Something that people haven't seen before. And look, it's the only cheese in the world that has green ants on it. We actually get the green ants through, they're farmed under license, and they come from the Northern Territory, and they're also up in far north Queensland in Innisfail. So I do quite a lot of work with Jocks on Frillo here in South Australia, and he's one of our amazing chefs here, who also is responsible for the Arana Foundation, which seeks to look at and identify native ingredients and create a database that people like myself can actually go onto this database and understand how to use, what the culinary attributes are of that particular ingredient, how to use it. So, yes, I think it's just the beginning of perhaps a little, new roadway that I want to go down, looking at native ingredients.
So what sort of a flavour has the green ant got?
We use the green ants whole, and they are a little bit crunchy, as you can probably imagine, and they have a flavour profile which is very similar to a combination of kaffir lime and lemongrass. Very citrusy. And just with that little dusting of lemon myrtle, and the cheese is actually quite acidic as well. It's beautiful. It's really fresh, goes fantastically with champagne or, one of our sparkling wines, even, maybe a Prosecco. So, yeah, it's just a really gorgeous, gorgeous fresh cheese.
And you started to export that, haven't you, to America?
I was actually just at the fancy New York fancy food show in Manhattan, and I had people coming, seeking us out, in particularly just to try the Ant Hill cheese. And, some of them were really comfortable with, eating ants. Others looked at it and just said, oh, no, I just couldn't possibly do that. Now, look, I think I can sell ice to Eskimos. So most of them did try it. And most of them loved it.
And you had a few sales.
We had lots of sales.
And your factory is right next door to a chocolate factory.
Absolutely, yes. So when you come to see us, you can get the double hit. You can go and do it. The quandary will be, what do you do first, cheese or chocolate?
That was South Australian cheesemaker Chris Lloyd with Veronica Matheson, who obviously knew there was a chocolate factory next door and has got it earmarked for a future visit. So and you could be getting a chocolate story.
And that's at Woodside in South Australia, in the Adelaide Hills, yes.